We have two board members joining us from the Rock Hill School Board on Palmetto Mornings. We got Montrea Belton and James Burns. And good morning to you both.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
We're going to continue our conversation that we had the other day with Board Chair Helena Miller when it comes to the finances, that is, of the Rock Hill School District. We'll ask this question and both of you can answer it. The state of the finances in the Rock Hill School District is what?
I'd say the state of the finances are solid. Last year for the budget, we passed the largest teacher pay increase, which was the tune of $15.8 million. Used fund balance money to give the district time to realign itself with the org chart, so it fell in line with the budget. And the interim superintendent, Dr. John Jones, right now, of course, brought us some recommendations. And now it's up to the board to choose from where we go from here. So it's we're all going to come together. We're Montreal, probably going to beat our heads against each other. But it's time. I mean, it's time to get the teachers, and well, we got the teachers the raise. Now it's time for the non-certified individuals within the school system, such as our bus drivers, our teacher assistants, the office workers. It's their turn this time going around. So it's where Montreal and I have to figure out how to make it happen.
And I agree with James on that. Our finances are solid. We do have about a $3 million delta now that we're dealing with. And within that $3 million delta, one thing that James and I do agree, we probably disagree with how do we remove that $3 million delta. But what we do agree with is that we've got to get our non-certified people, our bus drivers, our teacher assistants, our administrative assistants, an equivalent raise that we gave to our teachers.
So just to kind of dumb that down, yeah, is that the what we call support staff?
Support staff
for the
correct
district within the school level.
Yes.
Within the schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we also have support staff that is part of the district office as well.
We're not including the district office in this. It's a support staff within the school. These are the people that live paycheck to paycheck. These are the ones that need it the most. And this, we're focused solely on them right now.
And generally speaking, our support staff in the district office makes more than the people who are in the school level. What I'm specifically targeting, what I would like for us to specifically target, are bus drivers, teacher assistants, the people who are in the special needs classroom, the teacher assistants who are in our kindergarten classroom, the ones that you see when you walk by Central Development Center, walking the kids to the park and those things. Those are the people who are most important to me in as we're looking at another pay increase.
For most families in any school district, they don't get to see how this process, right, how the sausage is made. I know you, James, kind of gave the state of the health of finances for the Rock Hill School District. What do you hope that families learn from this discussion, from having you all debate these positions and funding when their focus a lot of times of just getting their kid to school is the biggest victory in their day.
The great thing about the public sector is we just have to balance the budget. It's not like Montreal. Now we have to figure out how we're going to pay our taxes and how we have to actually have a profit at the end of the year. We just have to balance it. And we have tons of resources coming from the state, local, and federal governments. Well, I don't know about the federal much longer, but we'll see what happens there. But we need to allocate those expenses correctly and balance the budget. And that's something that's been needed to happen at Rock Hill Schools for a long time. And it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you, because we're talking about people's positions. We're talking about, you know, what kind of programs we're offering. And some of those get affected. But thanks to Dr. John Jones, he was able to scale down some of these programs and positions and make it to where we could, I mean, save a ton of money and still offer the same programs and resources to the families that we have been. So kudos to him.
And Lucas, one thing that you've got to keep in mind, Rock Hill Schools is still operated about at the same operational financial level for the last 3 or 4 years, yet you've had declining enrollment. And in the school system, finances are predicated on the number of heads or number of butts that are in the seat, for lack of a better word. And so if your enrollment is declining, then there's no way you can keep your operational level consistent or even increasing in some cases. So what we're trying to do is calibrate the number of students we have in our school versus what income we have coming in to balance a budget.
And as part of that process, I know there was a structuring of the district office.
And yes.
Montrio, to our understanding, your wife works for the district office. When those votes came up, you did not recuse yourself. Some might see that as a conflict of interest, giving you opportunity to explain.
Well, one, as an attorney, you never have to worry about my getting myself in a situation where there's any type of ethical concern. All right, so let me assure the public that I'll never get myself in a situation where there's any type of conflict. Actually, there's statutory guidance that guide what public officials can do when it directly impacts their wife, and there's one that's called a group vote. So if there's a vote that I take and my wife is part of the group, for instance, if we give a pay raise or pay raise to the district office and everybody in the district office at her level gets it, then I can vote on it. I just cannot vote on anything with my wife that deals with her individually. And so Dr. Jones brought in a chart, and I discussed the charts like anyone else. So my wife is part of the group, and as long as she's part of the group, I can take any vote I want to take.
We're speaking with Montrio Belton and James Burns. They're Rock Hill School Board members. Let's talk real quick about the superintendent search. What are you both looking for with the next superintendent of the Rock Hill School District?
Personally, I'm looking for someone that knows how to compete with charter schools. Someone that offers. I talked to a superintendent yesterday. He ran in Ohio. He ran a school of 40, or a district of 40,000 kids. He told me that they went to open enrollment and forced the schools to compete for the amount of pupils they had in each school. So when the amount of pupils in that school went down, so did their funding. And so he actually put the burden onto the principals. I'd like to see more of that, because right now it doesn't matter how many kids are in a school, the paycheck's the same, the funding is the same. And when we have a school that's at 50% occupancy, there's a lot of revenue growth, chances for revenue right there. We have to focus on that. Now, Montrio may, and I may disagree on that, but we have to do something differently. We've been doing the same thing for the past 50 years, and the charter schools have come in, and they have studied our weaknesses, and they're taking advantage of them. Athletically, you know, you look at Legion, what they do. They focus on sports that we don't focus on. And if you go over to York Prep, you know, it's kind of like the dual enrollment thing. We are just now getting really involved in dual enrollment. We're 5 to 8 years late to the punch. We started this a long time ago, but better late than never. So,
Personally, I'm looking for someone who has a deep level of understanding of teaching and learning, someone who's been in a turnaround situation before, who's come into a school district and knows what to do. My priority right now are the students who are in the school. Then secondarily, how do we reclaim some of the students who are in the school? Because the reality of it is my child, other children are currently enrolled in Rock Hill Schools, and these children need to learn, and they need to be able to compete at the next level, whatever their next level looks like beyond graduation. So personally, someone who has a depth of knowledge in teaching and learning, who understands the turnaround. And I'm not, despite what James may think, I don't disagree that we need to compete, and we need our community needs to be a competitive community as it relates to education. I think anybody wants their school system to be one of pride, a source of pride, a source that's graduating students who are career ready, who are college ready, who are military ready. So I do believe that we also have to compete, but I also think that the children who are currently here and the families who are here, we've got to serve those, then go out and try to bring others back.
I'll add to that, because the individualist needs to come into Rock Hill Schools, needs to see the forest through the trees. Right now, Rock Hill has the biggest, due to Act 388, which saddles the business community with most of the finances and for the school system. Anyone with a business mindset would say, wow, look at this. If you go and look at Clover and Fort Mill, they have nothing but residential rooftops. So they don't have the infrastructure that we have for our school system. So they can come in and say the things that they could do with Rock Hill Schools is light years past Fort Mill and Clover. But I need somebody to see that the way I see it and the way Montrio sees it, because he pays taxes now too. He's not in the school system anymore.
We've also heard a lot about lack of discipline and leadership within our schools. What's the response to that, and how can that new superintendent really lead that charge into making that better?
So you know, that's always such a loaded question because, you know, if you say something over here, you appear that, you know, you don't support teachers. And if you say something over here, you appear that you're just endorsing what's going on. No one wants anybody to be in a school that lacks discipline. But discipline is such a multi-layered thing. How you view discipline and how I view discipline may be totally different. What I can say is we got multiple issues here in our school, and we've got to get back to the basics of learning. There are lots of things that are impacting that. I think as a district, we are well aware. We hear what the public is saying. We hear that people feel that, and your perception becomes your reality, whether it's true or not true. So we are trying to do a deep dive with our staff to look at what some of our discipline concerns are. We are looking at what a continuum of disciplinary procedures will be in terms of what punishments will be. And I think we all as a board have heard very loud and clear from our community, from our teachers, that they want us to focus on some of these things that they perceive as a lack of discipline in our school. And I think we're committed to trying to address that issue and give our teachers and our administrators more tools to deal with what we consider students who are disruptive.
I can't agree more. As a Citadel grad, discipline is everything. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. Without discipline, it's nothing.
Those are your Rock Hill School Board members, Montrea Belton and James Burns.